You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilkins bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Well, good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton greeting you to our program again on another Saturday afternoon, and we welcome and greet all of you wherever you are, on the internet, on the radio someplace, however you're listening to the program. So we're honored to be here with you. Don and I co-pastor church here in Stewart. We have for 23 plus years. God gave us a name way back. What, Pastor Donna?
Raising the Standard.
That's the radio program, yeah, but the church name God gave us was Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. And He also, as Donna just said, He gave us a name for the radio program. And that's 19 plus years ago, Raising the Standard, because the Word of God will raise the standard in the body of Christ. If we'll just believe what it says, put it in our lives, not question it, just do what God says and we'll be blessed. Amen? Just like Jesus said, if you love me, what did Yeshua say? If you love me, you'll keep my commandments.
That's what he said.
Apostle John said in his first epistle, said what? And his commandments and statutes and judgments, they're not what?
Difficult. Grievous.
Or grievous, because we love God to keep them.
They're easy.
So we hope you can stay tuned for the whole hour. We're on every Saturday from 12 noon until 1, and we do a lot with the Jewish understanding. And Donna may bring in some Hebrew with us here today, whatever she wants to do as the Lord shows her. And as we understand what God put in place years and years ago, the seasons come and go, we know every year, but they're all pointing to one event, and that's the Messiah was going to come, and then He's going to come back one day again for all of us. And so we should be looking for Him, shouldn't we, Pastor Young? We should be looking for Him. Won't be long. One of these years in the fall, I believe it's going to be in the fall, during the fall festival, that His Son, Father God, your Son will be sent back to this earth, and we'll bring this whole thing down to a conclusion, except for Jacob's trouble, which will last for 7 years, and that's primarily for God's people, the Jewish people. Your grace and mercy, again, to give them another 7 years to accept the Messiah, your Son, the only begotten of the Father. Whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but who believes on Him should not perish, I should say, and will have what? Eternal life. Everlasting life. That's what the Scripture says in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so, Lord, we thank You that we're born again on this program, sitting here, my wife and I. So we pray for all those out there listening today. If you don't know the Lord, this will be a great day to come and ask Jesus to come into your life. And so we just ask you to do that as you listen to the program. I hope you get pricked in your heart about what's going on with Israel, because we're going to talk about a day called the Ninth of Av, and we'll discuss some things with this as we go along. So we trust you can stay tuned in for the whole hour. We're here to bless you. My wife's got some things to announce here, and then we're going to do a little teaching here with you today about this season that we're in right now with the nation of Israel. So, Pastor Donna, what do you have to say?
Well, you sound a little bit excited, Pastor
Gene. That's right. We need to get excited about the Lord, don't we?
We thank the Lord for everyone out there. We thank You for keeping us in prayer as we are healing and getting stronger
every
day by day, because what? We have to trust in the Lord.
Amen.
And the power of His might. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And He even says when we, you know, when we're weak, He is strong. But
Amen.
We have to trust in Him. So we're in the calendar month of Tammuz. Tammuz is the Hebrew calendar
month. We're almost through that, aren't we?
Yes, amen. We are getting there. Not really.
We are, Pastor. We're in the month of Av.
We're in the month of Av.
Right. Tammuz passed.
Past. Yeah.
Time goes by so fast.
That was last week.
That's right.
Right. We're in the month of Av, the ninth of Av. We're talking about that, and then that happens to be today.
That's right.
And you're going to be doing most of the teaching because you know more about this month of Av than I do. But, you know, this year it happens to fall on a Saturday.
That's right.
And,
Sabbath, no less.
You know, the Jewish people don't celebrate it when it falls on a Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
They celebrate because it's the Shabbat. It's the Sabbath.
Shabbat, right.
And so, even though there were many things that happened that were not good
on
the
history,
ninth of Av, down through history,
we'll
share some of those things. They usually talk about it. It's not really something you want to celebrate because it's a sorrow.
That's right.
So they, you know, they recognize that it would be the next day after that,
mm-hmm.
if it falls on a Sabbath, which it does this year. But I wanted to mention that we do have services here in Stuart, Florida, and we're right here off of Canner Highway. And if you're taking 95, so if you'd like to come, I'm going to give you the phone number in a minute. You can call and we'll give you directions, or you can just Google that. It would be Spirit of Prophecy, and it's here in Stuart, Florida.
Hallelujah.
Uh-huh, right, at Canner and Monterey, in the Monterey Plaza. So we have we come together today at 4 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a video to show this afternoon by... Bill Cloud.
A man that knows the Hebrew really well. He's a
mm-hmm.
Gentile, but boy, does he know the Hebrew. He's going to bring some real interesting things to be revealed to us to understand what we have in the First Covenant, how important for us to understand that, even the letters, right, Pastor Don?
Oh, wow. I love the letters.
That's right.
And also, that's going to be at 4 o'clock, and then right. after that, we will have a little meal, and we'll have our Haddalah closing.
Mm-hmm.
And so... we praise God for that. And then we'll come together tomorrow, Sunday morning, the first day of the week, which will be at 10 a.m. in the morning.
Hallelujah.
And then we also have a service that day. And then we also come meet on Friday nights, every Friday night for Shabbat.
Mm-hmm.
And that's at 7 p.m. So you'd like to come and come into one of the services. We'd love to have you come and visit us. And we want to say hello to you out there that listen to us all the time. And if you'd like to send an offering, we certainly could use it for this radio program. Keep Pastor Tom in prayer.
Right. He had open heart surgery.
So we've been praying for him.
Yes, Lord.
And quick and mighty healing for him.
Yes, Lord.
And there's so many things happening, Pastor Gene, that we just need to continually pray for one another. We had a prayer meeting on Thursday, and we prayed for 3 hours.
Almost,
just 3 hours, you know, and there's so much to pray about.
Paul said pray without ceasing, didn't he?
Yes, and it seems like there's something, you just turn around, and you turn on the news, or you hear from somebody. Somebody needs prayer. Everybody
Amen.
Needs prayer. So we're praying. We've been praying for the church. The church needs a lot of prayer. When I say the church, I don't mean particularly... any particular church, I mean the body of Christ.
At large, yeah.
In general,
yes.
At large, needs a lot of prayer because we need to come together and we need to be in agreement and with what God's Word says.
Break Amen. Down all the barriers.
Not so much what each other person believes, because if we all believe what God's Word says, then we'll be in agreement. And the Bible
Amen.
Says that when we're in agreement, it's like the precious oil that's in Psalm 133. Comes down off of the head.
Well,
we know,
beard,
but
head,
we
yeah.
know Yeshua is the head, right?
Amen.
And it comes down onto the body, and it goes all the way down to the feet. So it would cover the whole body. To me, I see that, and it's not just one particular church or one particular denomination. It would be the whole body of Christ. And so we do need to pray for each other. We want to say hello to Roscoe and Audrey on the island of Andros and
the walks,
building
hallelujah.
The temple of God.
Mm-hmm.
And we just thank the Lord for them and for their church and for what they're doing on Andros Island. Amen.
And
also, if people would like to have the calendar, we have a calendar that we do every month. And it has the Hebrew on it, the Hebrew calendar and the Gregorian calendar. And
superimposed.
And mm-hmm. I have, like you said, I might talk about the Hebrew letters. Well, Maybe I will talk about one Hebrew letter. There's 22 Hebrew letters in the Hebrew calendar. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Hebrew alphabet. It's called the Aleph-Bet. Aleph-Bet, like ABC, you know, Aleph-Bet. Mm-hmm. So the Bet is the second letter. It's called, it's Bet, and it's a second letter. It would be related to what we would say a B.
A B, yeah.
And it's a number two. And the Hebrew language is the only language that has like three levels. It's like in levels, and it's like it tells a story. So one of the levels is, you know, it's a letter that you're going to write words with.
It's a number.
Another one is it's a number, mm-hmm. like the Bet would be number, easy, number two. It's the second letter.
All assigned, right.
So it would be number two, so it's always a two. And it always has a meaning. Mm-hmm. And so what does the Bet have a meaning of? It means like a tent or a house. And the Bet, if you do a study on it, it talks, you know, Yeshua, he came from where? Bethlehem, mm-hmm. house of bread. Mm-hmm. So the house of bread, that word would start with the B. So that second letter is really a picture of Jesus in the house.
Amen.
Amen. And he comes out of the house and he comes into us, into our house. And so we have, there's a lot that we can have. And so if you'd like to have that, I'd be glad to send that to you. So who's in your house? I hope Jesus is in your house.
I hope so too, yes.
Because we are a house and we need to be a house of praise, a house of joy.
That's right.
And we need to be the house of the Lord, because the Bible says that we're the temple of the Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
And so we would go to the next letter, and that letter actually represents, has to do with the Holy Spirit. But it's good to know these things. And so why do you want to learn those things? Well, because, you know, one day we will probably be speaking Hebrew. I believe it's
in
God's
heaven,
language.
Yeah. That's right.
And so there's no reason why we can't learn some things. And even if we don't ever learn how to read the Bible in Hebrew, but we can certainly learn certain words and understand.
And what the letters mean, huh?
Understand what they mean and understand why certain words are what they represent. Because each letter represents... the Aleph, which is the first letter, it represents an ox, something strong, length, strength, which would represent the Father. He is strong. He's the one that gives us strength. Amen. So
all the letters have a symbol too, don't they? Like that.
They all have a symbol.
They represent something.
They all have a meaning.
And it's gematria with all the numbers in there also.
They all have a number. That's right. And God talks about numbers so many times throughout the Bible.
Sure does.
And each number has a meaning.
Mm-hmm.
Has a meaning. So. Praise the Lord. So anyways, the phone number here, if you'd like to call us and like to have a calendar, and also what Pastor Gene is going to be speaking about today, it's in his book,
mm-hmm.
Pictures of the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
And so you would like to know more about the Feasts of the Lord, because we're coming up to the fall, which will be the latter feast.
That's right. They're coming again fast.
So it would be good for us to know what they are. The first one will be Rosh Hashanah.
Right, trumpets.
Trumpets, and so this will be a starting of a new year. I'm not talking about 2016 or 2017. I'm talking about the starting of a new Jewish year, which would be 5777.
That's
right.
You've
got three sevens there.
Amen.
Now, when you have three of any number in the Hebrew, it's what's the word I'm thinking of?
It's very important.
It's very important.
God keeps repeating, doesn't he?
But it's like three times something. It's
right.
It's more powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And so here we have seven. It's going to be 5777, which is, and seven is God's perfect number.
That's
so
right.
Could this be the year of the catching away? It
Who knows?
Could be.
Could well
and
be.
And we
the
believe that the catching away,
mm-hmm.
we're not saying what year it's going to happen on, but the Bible says that we should know. Paul said we should know the times and the seasons.
That's right. We won't be caught unaware.
Right. So we won't be caught unaware.
We'll know the time and season
so
of the year.
If this year it happens to be the time and the season, then you know we should be ready. Of course, we should be ready every day, because we don't know the last when we're gonna have our last breath.
And this is a Shemitah year also, isn't it?
And this is a Shemitah year.
That's right.
So there's so many things that are important about this year. And this actually finishes the end of the Shemitah year. And many people believe this is also the 50th Jubilee.
That's right.
It's a Jubilee year. So if it's a Jubilee year and we're ending the Shemitah and we're going up on Rosh Hashanah and it's 777... Wow.
Key things there, right?
Key things. Could it be this year? It could be.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Could it be that a lot of people are not going to be ready? Most likely, a lot of people will not be ready. So we just need to know these things. And so if you know the seasons, and you know, if you know what's going to happen, if you know about Rosh Hashanah, and you know about the Day of Atonement, and you know about these feast days. So I would suggest that your book is only $25. And it has all kinds of charts in it and all kinds of wonderful teaching in it.
All based on the Word of God.
It's
not what I thought.
All based on the Word of God. And it has it has the scriptures in it. So people can look up the scriptures. And actually a lot of them are just typed into it, you know.
That's right.
So I'm going to give the phone number. It's area code 772-285-7007. I'll repeat that. Area code 772-285-7007.
That's right.
And so what can you tell us, Pastor Gene, about the 9th of August?
Well, before we talk about it, I'm just thinking about this. You're talking about these sevens, how important they are. If you look at in the original scriptures, we find out Leviticus chapter 26, we find out that Israel disobeyed God and they didn't keep the Shemitah, you know, the rest of the land every 7 years. And they missed that for 70 times. They missed that. That would be a period of 490 years. And so God told them in that chapter 26, four times, that I'm going to punish you seven times more if you don't obey what I said. And so they didn't. And so this is how we came up with Daniel's 490-year prophecy, because of what they did. And so the Shemitah year is so important to consider what might be. Now, if it doesn't happen this year, maybe it's going to be the next 7 years. We don't know. But anyway, we need to be aware. And so, you know, Jonathan Cahn was given that revelation at Isaiah chapter 9, 10, and 11 over there, mm-hmm. about the Shemitah and the judgment that was going to come. And, of course, our country took those words and thought they were going to have something good put on America as these politicians spoke this. But if you read it closely, it was a judgment that came upon Israel because of their disobedience. So the Shemitah is very important. So this is one of those years. And so we got to keep that in mind. And when the fall comes, like Donna said, when trumpets come, it's going to be what? Rosh Hashanah. It means the beginning of the year. It's going to be a new year also. And it comes before ours on our Gregorian calendar. And so it's interesting to see what God's put in place. So the sevens are so important.
You know,
they're everywhere.
The number seven happens to be a Zayin.
Yeah.
It's Z-A-Y-I-N, Zayin. And it looks kind of like a sword.
Mm-hmm.
And so part of what its meaning would be a sword would also mean a weapon or war. Mm-hmm. Could mean war. And it can be being cut off.
That's right.
You know, so who knows what's going to happen in 57, 77. But we need to be ready because it's very short, very soon.
I think we're really close.
Very soon.
Yeah. It might be another, another 7 years. We don't know. But it's,
I can actually tell you
exactly
when, because I have a Jewish calendar here.
Okay.
I can exactly tell you when
Rosh Hashanah, or trumpets, comes.
Will come.
On Tishri 1.
On Tishri 1.
The seventh month on the prophetic calendar. It's a very important month, because right after that, 10 days later, we have the Day of Atonement. And then what? 5 days later, we have what?
No, Tishri 1.
Tabernacles.
Tishri 1 comes in October.
Okay.
And you know, Rosh Hashanah is the only feast that comes on the new moon.
On a new moon. That's
it's
another
the only
clue.
One of all the seven feasts
that
come on a new moon. God is going to do a new thing. Only one. And it happens to be because they look for the new moon. And so you don't know exactly when the new moon is going to come. And that's why Jesus said, you know, you won't know the day or the hour.
Because 48-hour window.
It's the only feast that they look for 2 days.
Right.
Because actually when the moon goes black, you know, in other words, when you can't see the moon, there's like almost 2 days.
2.5 days or
two
so.
2.5 days.
Of darkness.
It's dark and you don't see the new moon. And so what do they do over in Israel, in Jerusalem, around Israel, they have, what do they call them?
Heralds. Years ago they had
heralds. They go out, right, and they go to the, you know, they look
on
for
the
sliver of the very first new moon.
That's right.
And then they say, what do they say? This is a born again
moon.
Wow. Well, we talk about being born again, don't we?
That's right.
Well, we need to be born again. So they call it a born again moon, and it's the only feast that is on 2 days. And Jesus said, he didn't say you wouldn't. He said, you'll know the times and the seasons, didn't he?
But Paul said,
you'll know the times and the seasons, but you won't know the day or the hour. So here, we believe that it's going to happen on one Rosh Hashanah.
That's right.
Whether it's going to be this one, I don't know. But it could be.
Who knows?
Something could happen this year, 5777.
That's right.
And that's going to be, I'll tell you again, it's going to be October. The 2nd is the eve of it, and it will be in the 3rd.
So if you're not, if you don't know the Lord, and you're not right with the Lord, you're backslidden, whatever, this is the time you need to think about it, because we're coming up on this, won't be long, and you can get right with God. And if he would come back this year, well, then you won't be left on this earth to go through this terrible time called Jacob's trouble. And we have to remember, the church is not going to go through that. It's called Jacob's trouble. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. It's Israel's trouble. God's given them another 7-year period of grace and mercy and kindness to bring them to Yeshua HaMashiach, their Messiah, the one that came for them the first time. They missed their visitation. But I'm praying so much, I pray so much that the Jewish people will not miss the second visitation when Christ comes back to this earth. And so these appointed times are so important. And a lot of people just take it for granted that it's not, doesn't mean much.
And
but
so
it does.
We believe that when the catching away happens, that that's when the tribulation will start.
Mm-hmm.
7 years of trouble.
That's right.
And even in that, during that month of October, it's just full of, my calendar's full of color, because it's also the Day of Atonement starts, is the following week.
Yeah, on the 10th.
Uh-huh. And the following week after that is the Feast of Tabernacles.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, to be in Israel during the Feast of Tabernacles.
So think, when Jesus comes back to the earth, honey, it's going to all be over in 21 days from the time he comes back. Boom, boom. You're going to have trumpets, the Day of Atonement, tabernacles, and the kingdom comes. It's amazing.
But, yeah, you're jumping, though, to the end.
To the end.
Make it clear so
the
people won't think
after,
it's all going to happen
after Jacob's trouble.
Week.
Jacob's trouble has to come first, right?
So, yes, it'll be the catching away, mm-hmm. then Jacob's trouble for 7 years.
And where will we be?
And then we come back to another Rosh Hashanah at the end. That's when he will come back and... And there will be a war. There'll be a war. He's going to come back as you know, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and there'll be a battle.
That's
battle
right.
of Armageddon. It talks about in the Valley of Megiddo.
Right.
So that's all in the future. And you say, well, how do you know? Well, look at all the prophecies.
The Bible.
Look at all the things that have happened in the past. They didn't, you know, back when Daniel was there, or way back when Moses was there. They, you know, all these things are in the Bible, in the prophecies, but when you come down this far now, we can look back upstream.
That's right.
And we can see, wow, that happened. Wow, that happened. That
That's
happened.
Right.
God said this was going to happen. It happened. It happened. It happened. Well, you know what? God doesn't change, and what God says is going to happen will happen.
That's right. So if you're not right with the Lord, this is a time to get right, because, you know, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. We have no guarantee we'll be alive tomorrow. So we need to be right with him, and we could die and just go out into eternity. Where are you going to go? You know, where are you going to go at this time?
Yeah.
If you know the Lord, when Jacob's trouble comes, we'll be out of here. We'll be caught off the earth. There'll be a resurrection out from among the dead, and we'll be in heaven for those 7 years. And then we'll come back, as it says in Revelation chapter 19, and we'll come back on those white horses and with all the angels, the good angels, and we're going to see all this come to pass. And so you ought to be excited. I'm excited about this, just thinking about it. This could happen in our lifetime. And so we're just looking to the Lord, because I really believe that we're really close to the very end. And so we have to be right with him all the time. And so God has given us so much in the Word of God. And if you question that, and you know the Jewish appointed times, go read Joel chapter 2. Everything's in that chapter all the way down.
That's why we need to be praying for our
family, for our children,
our friends, for the church, for the body of Christ, because much of the body of Christ is not ready.
That's right, they're not.
Much of them are not ready, because he's coming back for those, it says in the book of Revelation, you know, Jesus is coming back for those who are looking for him, and he's coming back for those who are, you know, following him and obeying him.
That's right. So he's given us the whole Word of God. These appointed times were not put in there just for give them something to do. They all had a historical event that happened, but also it was pointing to Yeshua the Messiah. That's what it was all about.
And they're not all just for Israel.
Nope.
No, it's for the...
the whole body of Christ.
For the whole body of
everybody,
Christ.
Everybody, we are the born again. What we're grafted into
to the
natural
in.
Olive tree. Hallelujah. We have a part of that.
That's right.
So
we have the promises.
That's right.
That God gave to Abraham, and down through Moses, and so we have the promises.
And
of
so
God
does Israel.
What Jesus said.
That's
in
right.
Israel, well, many Jewish people have asked Jesus into their heart, but there's many that haven't.
Right.
But you know, one day they will see the one that was pierced, and they will cry out, and they will call upon his name.
That's right.
The only name. The only name.
The only name that brings salvation, his name is Yeshua HaMashiach. There's no other name.
And you know, Pastor Gene, I know we're going to talk about the ninth of Av, but you know, even in the very first sentence of the book of Genesis, it tells us the whole story. It tells
us
there's keys in the Hebrew letters. There's keys in the Hebrew alphabet about the words that are those first words, few words that are in that very first verse.
First sentence, yeah.
Very first sentence in our Bible. And it's all, it gives us, if you know the Hebrew language and you know what the meanings are, you can see the gospel right there. You can see Yeshua. Yeshua's in there.
Even the cross is revealed there.
That's right. The cross, the olive top. See, the olive is the first letter and the top is the last letter. Well, the Jewish people know this. They've known this for centuries, that the olive is a picture of an ox, which is a picture of the Father. The Tav is a picture of a cross. Now, Jesus spoke and he said that he is the
Aleph and the Tav.
And the Tav. Well, the New Testament says the Alpha and the Omega. Alpha and Omega and Aleph and Tav mean the same thing. So that means he's the first and he's the last. So right there in that very first sentence in Genesis 1:1, it has Aleph Tav. It's a key showing us that this, he is the beginning and he is the ending and he's everything in between.
In between, sure is. He's everything. That's right.
Praise God.
So anyway, those are some interesting things we're talking about. But we want to talk about the ninth of Av a little bit. Today happens to be the ninth of Av on the Jewish calendar. And so as we think about this, I'd like to go over and we'll read a few scriptures about this. But remember, we told you several weeks ago that starting on Tammuz 19, there's a period of almost 3 weeks from the 19th of Tammuz to the 9th of Av is a time in history with the Jewish people in Israel. They had so many bad things happen to them during that time. And we ask you all on the radio at that time to continue to pray for Israel at this time, mainly for their salvation, that their eyes will be open to see the Messiah, the true Messiah. They think there's one here or one that's going to be coming, but he's already been here and he went back to heaven. He's getting ready to come back for them and for all of us to believe in Yeshua. And so we have to keep them in prayer. And so it's a very important time. So here's the ninth of Av, and a lot of things happen. And if you read your Bible, it tells us in Jeremiah 39 and also in chapter 52, it talks about when the temple was destroyed by the Babylonians when they came in. We're going to read some scriptures about that. And then God in his all-knowing, all those years went by from about 586 BC all the way down to 70 AD, and the temple was destroyed then by the Romans on the exact same day, the 9th of Av. There's a lot of things that happened. I think about Spain years and years ago, and around 1492, Queen Isabel and her husband Ferdinand, they decided they didn't want the Jews in Spain, so they expelled them all. And it started on the 9th of Av. They put them on ships and sent them out to sea, hoping and believing that they would die out there. A lot of them did, but a lot of them survived and wound up going other places. But that's what happened. Another thing that happened was also with England. They wanted to throw them out as well. And it's amazing what they've been through down through the ages because of their disobedience. And God told them over in Deuteronomy, he said, I'm going to set before you today life and death. You choose. And they chose the wrong thing. And so this is why they're scattered. This is why they're going through all the troubles they have right now. But don't you understand that God knew this was going to happen? And so that's why he had to bring Yeshua on the scene, and because mankind couldn't keep anything. And so thank God that Yeshua, he fulfilled everything. He kept everything in the Torah. He did everything. He crossed all the T's. He dotted all the I's. He kept all the appointed times. All those five sacrifices in Leviticus, the beginning of Leviticus, they were all about him, the peace offering. The burnt offering, the grain offering, it's all about him. And so it's amazing what God's given us. And so, you know, the Jews ought to understand this, that there's no physical man on this earth that could qualify to be the Messiah if they read their Bible. And there's only one man that ever lived that was a sinless man. His name was Yeshua HaMashiach. And so he's the only one. And so you wonder why they're looking to a physical man, because they've all sinned and missed the glory of God. And so, you know, I think about it. The event that happened in Yeshua's day when he died and then 3 days rose from the grave, this was the most important event that ever happened in history, when the Son of God came to this earth and brought salvation to the world. It was the greatest event. The next great event will happen, well, of course, will be what? When he comes back. But he came the first time, and we thank God that he did. And Don and I are sitting here. We're born again. We're born from above. We don't just know about the Lord. We know him in a personal relationship. And that's what God wants to encourage you with today. It just can't be some head knowledge. And, you know, once a week time to church on Sunday for an hour and a half, and then you forget about it for the rest of the week, and you live like the rest of the world does. The Bible says to come out from among them. Don't live in that. Don't do the things that the world's doing. So we're in this world, but we're not part of this world. That's what Jesus said. And so our kingdom's not of this world. Our kingdom is coming. It's the kingdom's in us right now. It was Luke said this, wrote it down, what Jesus said. He says, the kingdom of God comes without observation. It came into our heart. It's here. But one day we're going to see the physical kingdom established on this earth as long as we stay with Yeshua, trust him, depend upon him, and have a relationship with him in everything that we do. So we're so honored to be able to share this with you today on the radio at this time. And so we pray that Israel's going to make it through today as well without any problems. So let's see
and a little. You know, in Israel on today, on over there, mm-hmm. they don't, in Israel, the restaurants are closed. All establishments are closed in Israel, I'm talking about. And if they don't close it, they have to pay some kind of fine.
Right.
So they observe that because it's a time of sadness.
That's right. It's not a time of joy. That's for
no,
sure.
It's
not
a
joyous
time. Sadness.
To know what happened.
And really mourning because all you're going to hear about all the things that happened on the 9th of August. Pastor Gene's going to share with you.
That's right. So let's read some scriptures here. I'm going to take you over to Jeremiah chapter 39. If you're at home, you can open up a Bible. If you're driving a car, please don't do that, but you can listen. If you'd like to get a copy of what we're going to talk about today, a CD or a tape, all we ask for is a love offering. You can make out a check to the ministry, Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. Mail it to Post Office Box 413, that's in Stuart, Florida, and the zip is 34995. Or if you want to order the book I wrote on the pictures of the Messiah and the prophetic calendar that God has, $25 and maybe $4 for shipping and handling. We'll be glad to get that out to you. So here we are. We're in chapter 39.
Time for fasting and morning and prayer.
That's right. Thank you, Lord, for this time to remember what happened. And we don't want to ever see that happen again to Israel in any way, shape, or form. So chapter 39, the first verse says, in the ninth year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the 10th month. Well, what's the 10th month? If you don't know your Jewish calendar, you don't know what it is. It's the month called Tevet, okay? Came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and all his army against Jerusalem, and they besieged it. What does it mean to be besieged? They put their army all around Jerusalem so no one could go in or no one could come out. And it lasted for about 18 months before the city fell. Why? He wouldn't let no food, no water come in, and nothing could come out. And it got so bad, it tells us in Isaiah and all, that the people inside actually killed their children and they fought over who was going to get to eat their children. How pagan and barbaric that is. That's what they did because it was so bad. The famine was terrible. Verse 2 says, and in the 11th year of Zedekiah, in the 4th month. Well, what's the 4th month? The one we just came out of, the month of Tammuz. We talked about it. I don't know how that got on the Jewish calendar, Tammuz, but it did. That's the 4th month. The 9th day of the month, the city was what? Broken up. So we start off the 9th year of Zedekiah, and then we go to the 11th year. So it was a little over 18 months when all it took this took place for this the city to collapse. Verse 3, and all the princes of the king of Babylon came in and sat in the middle gate, even Nergal-Sharezer, Samgar-Nebo, Sarshakim, Rab-Sisaris, Nergal Sharezer, Rabmag, with all the residue of the princes of the king of Babylon. Let's read on. And it came to pass that when Zedekiah, the king of Judah, saw them and all the men of war, then they fled and went forth out of the city by night. By the way, the king's garden, by the gate betwixt the two walls, and he went out the way of the plain. Now he was told, the prophet told him, to stay in Jerusalem, obey the king of Babylon, and you will survive and live, even though they were going to go through 70 years of captivity. But he did not believe the prophet. Let's see what happened here. But the Chaldeans, verse 5, the Chaldeans' army pursued after them and overtook Zedekiah in the plains of Jericho. And when they had taken him, they brought him up to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, to Riblah in the land of Hamath, where he gave judgment upon him. Then the king of Babylon slew the sons of Zedekiah in Riblah, before his eyes, his kids, his sons, were killed before his eyes. Also, the king of Babylon slew all the nobles of Judah. There was a lot of them. Moreover, he put out Zedekiah's eyes and bound him with chains to carry him to Babylon. And then it says, and the Chaldeans burn the king's house and the houses of the people with fire and break down the walls of Jerusalem. Then Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, carried away captive into Babylon the remnant of the people that remained in the city and those that fell away that fell to him with the rest of the people that remained. But Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, left of the poor of the people which had nothing in the land of Judah and gave them victuals and vineyards, not victuals, but they had that too, vineyards and fields at the same time. So we see what happened to the temple area at that particular time because of what happened. Now let's look a little bit further. Let's go back further into the book of Jeremiah. Let's go back to chapter 52 now in Jeremiah. And let's look at this a little bit further here. This will give us a clue, the time of the year when all this happened. Chapter 52 now, of the book of Jeremiah. You know, you read this, it almost makes you want to cry. Chapter 52, verse 1. Zedekiah was 1 and 20 years old when he began to reign, what, in Judah. And he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. We just read that over in Jeremiah chapter 39. And he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Hamutal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libna. So see, his mother's even honored here. And he did that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord. See, his mother didn't have anything to do with it, but he did. He did that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord, according to all that Jehoiakim had done. For through the anger of the Lord, it came to pass in Jerusalem and Judah, till he had cast them out from his presence, that Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylon. He was told not to do that. And it came to pass, now we're in the 9th year of his reign, in the 10th month. We already told you what was the 10th month, the month of Tevet, in the 10th day. It's always the 9th month, the 10th, we see all these 10 days. What else happened in the, what happened in the month of Tishri on the 10th day? The Day of Atonement. In the 10th month, in the 10th day of the month, that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came. He and all his army against Jerusalem and pitched against it and built forts against it round about, just like we read over in the other chapter. So the city was besieged until the 11th year of King Zedekiah, about 18, a little over 18 months. And in the 4th month, what month was that again? The month of Tammuz. In the 9th day of the month, here's this 9th day, the famine was sore in the city so that there was no bread for the people of the land. Then the city was broken up, and all the men of war fled and went forth out of the city by night by the way of the gate between the two walls, which was by the king's garden. Now the Chaldeans were by the city round about, and they went by the way of the plain. But the army of the Chaldeans pursued after the king. Who's this? Zedekiah. And overtook Zedekiah in the plains of Jericho, and all his army was scattered from him. Then they took the king and carried him unto king, the king of Babylon, to Riblah in the land of Hamath, where he gave judgment upon them. And the king of Babylon slew his sons, what we just read a little bit ago, of Zedekiah, before his eyes. He slew also the princes of Judah in Riblah. Then he put out the eyes of Zedekiah, the king of Babylon bound him in chains and carried him to Babylon and put him in prison till the day of his death, because he disobeyed God. What a punishment that was. Now in the 5th month, all right, well, what's the 5th month now?
Av.
It's the month of Av. That's the month we're in right now. In the 5th month, in the 10th day of the month, here we go, the 9th and 10th of the month is when all this happened, which was the 19th year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, which served the king of Babylon into Jerusalem, and burned the house of the Lord, the temple, and the king's house, and all the houses of Jerusalem, and all the houses of the great men burned he with fire, and all the army of the Chaldeans are who? The Babylonians, that were with the captain of the guard, break down all the walls of Jerusalem round about. Then Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, carried away captive certain of the poor of the people, and the residue of the people that remained in the city, and those that fell away, that fell to the king of Babylon, and the rest of the multitude. But Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, left certain of the poor of the land for vine dressers and for husbandmen. So they left a portion there, just like God. Remember what he said when he gleaned the field? You don't glean everything. You leave the four corners there. Verse 17. Also the pillars of brass that were in the house of the Lord, and the bases and the brazen sea that was in the house of the Lord, the Chaldeans break and carried all the brass of them to Babylon. the cauldrons, when these are the big bowls and all, also, and the shovels and the snuffers and the bowls and the spoons and all the vessels of brass wherewith they ministered took they away, and the basins and the fire pans and the bowls and the cauldrons and the candlesticks and the spoons and the cups, that which was of gold, and that which was of silver in silver, took the captain of the guard away. The two pillars, one sea, and 12 brazen bulls that were under the bases, which King Solomon had made in the house of the Lord. The brass of all these vessels was without weight. And concerning the pillars, the height of one pillar was 18 cubits. This was about 27 feet. And a fillet means a thin band, of 12 cubits did compass it around the top, and the thickness thereof was 4 fingers. It was hollow. And a chapter, this is the upper part of the pillar, a chapter of the brass was upon it, and the height of one chapter was 5 cubits, with network and pomegranates upon the chapters round about, all of brass. The second pillar also and the pomegranates were like unto these. And there were 96 pomegranates on a side, and all the pomegranates upon the network were 100 round about. God's an incredible bookkeeper. He knows everything. Now we're in verse 24. And the captain of the guard took Zechariah, the chief priest, and Zephaniah, the second priest, and the 3 keepers of the door. He took also out of the city a eunuch, which had the charge of the men of war, and 7 men of them that were near the king's person, which were found in the city, and the principal scribe of the host, who mustered the people of the land, and 80 men of the people of the land that were found in the midst of the city. So Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, took them and brought them to the king of Babylon, to Riblah. And the king of Babylon smote them. He killed all these men and put them to death in Riblah in the land of Hamath. Thus Judah was carried away captive out of his own land. This is the people whom Nebuchadnezzar carried away captive in the 7th year, 3,000 Jews and 23. God's a great bookkeeper, isn't he? Again, I'll say it again. In the 18th year now of Nebuchadnezzar, he carried away captive from Jerusalem 832 persons. In the 23rd year of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, carried away captive of the Jews 745 persons. All the persons together were 4,600. God gave you the exact number. And it came to pass in the 37th year of the captivity of Jehoiakim, king of Judah. This is all during this captivity. Think about it. It came to pass in the 37th year, in other words, of the captivity of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, in the 12th month. What's the 12th month? It's the month of Adar. In the 25th day of the month, the 25th day of Adar. Hallelujah. That'll ring a bell with you a little bit, huh? In the 25th day of the month, an evil Merodach, king of Babylon, he was the new king. Now, I guess Nebuchadnezzar died in Babylon in the first year of his reign, lifted up the head of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and brought him forth out of the prison. So see, he obeyed, I guess, and he was taken. He went with the Babylonians. He didn't fuss or he didn't try to stop it. He did exactly what God told him to do. And so his head, it says, was lifted up. Or he found favor, in other words, with the new king, evil Merodach. And verse 32 says, and spake kindly unto him, Merodach did, and set his throne above the throne of the kings that were with him in Babylon, and changed his prison garments, and he did continually eat bread before him, who the king, all the days of his life. And for his diet, there was a continual diet given him of the king of Babylon every day, a portion until the day of his death, all the days of his life. So we have a comparison here. One king that obeyed what God had told the prophets, and one that disobeyed. Zedekiah, he disobeyed. And so the temple was torn down. It's terrible when we think about it. And so chapter 52, verse 12 tells you it was in the 5th month, in the 10th day of the month. The 9th and the 10th of the month is when this was happening. But they breached the temple. And when the final destruction came on the 9th of the month. And so we read all this. This is incredible just to think about what happened on the 9th of Av. And so those days from Tammuz 19 to the 9th of Av down through history was an incredible bad time in a lot of cases with Israel. But the main thing is that one particular day, wasn't it, Pastor?
That was the first temple. That was called Solomon's Temple.
Solomon's Temple.
The first temple was destroyed on the 9th of Av. And, you know, and you know, he took Nebuchadnezzar, he took all the holy things.
Sure did.
And, you know, and they didn't get all of them back. They never got all of them back. Even when the second temple was built, the one that Yeshua, Jesus, was in.
That's right.
They didn't have the Ark of the Covenant in that one.
Nope.
The only time that the presence of God was in there was when Yeshua walked in there.
That's right.
You know, he cast out the money changers and all and turned over those the tables. So and then that temple was also destroyed.
That's right.
On the 9th of Av.
God was reminding him again, wasn't he? That's right.
70 years later. And that was prophesied as well.
That's right.
You know, another thing that happened on the 9th of Av was back during Moses' time when they were to go in and spy out the land. Well, they didn't come back with a good report.
What day was that?
There were only two people that came back that were able to go ahead and take the people into the promised land. That would be Joshua and Caleb.
That's right.
But the rest of the ones that went in, they came back and said, "Yeah, the fruit is good, it's big, but there's giants in the land, and we're like grasshoppers in their sight."
Right.
So they had a bad report, and so that was on the 9th of Av as well. They died.
That's right.
So no good things happened on the 9th of Av.
Right.
A lot of things. And, you know, what about even up to things that happened more recently? What about there was hundreds and thousands of Jewish people of Israel that were taken out of Israel.
Right.
And many of them lived in Spain and different places, you know, throughout the world. And so.
And then they were expelled from there as
well. They were expelled from Spain.
That's right.
On the 9th of Av.
In 1492,
King Ferdinand and Queen Isabella, they expelled them. And we call that, when Columbus sailed the ocean blue. But, you know, he was a Jew. Columbus was a Jew.
This happened after he left, though, yeah.
And right, but they were expelled on the 9th of Av. And many other things happened on the 9th of Av.
People may not realize this. When Columbus convinced the queen and king to help support the trip to the far east there, or the west, I should say. Well, he was planning on leaving on a particular day and had those three ships all loaded and ready to go. And he realized when he looked at the calendar they had that it was the 10th day of the month of Tishri, which is the Day of Atonement. So they put off leaving for a whole day. Isn't that amazing? So he honored that even there in that day. He honored the Jewish things that God put in place. And so we think about this, and God has shown them so much. And, you know, you would think with the Jewish people today, they studied history, and they've seen all these things that happened with World War II and World War I, all these things that happened on the 9th of Av, that they would have their eyes opened up, and they'd say, "Wow, we must be doing something wrong. We're not doing the right thing. We need to look at this a new way." But see, they haven't done that. They stay in their old ways. They will not look a new way. You know, I always tell people if they could just get past Malachi. Donna tore that page out of her Bible between Malachi and the book of Matthew. It's a blank page. She took that out. So there should be no...
It divides the old and the new. Well, God didn't say to divide the old and the new.
He said to bring it together, didn't he? Because they complement one another. And if they would just make a right turn and go into the New Testament, you know what? In the renewed covenant, they would have their eyes open. I really believe that. And this is what it's going to take. And in fact, I've shared this before at church. I don't ever share it on the radio. We had a piece of property years ago that we were trying to sell, and we finally got someone to buy it. And the attorney that we met and we knew through a business and all, he was Jewish. And so we went and did our business and closed down on the house. And we were sitting there with him by ourselves afterwards and talking to him. And we found out, of course, that he was born again. And so we asked him how he got born again. You know how he did this? This was on a secular radio station, not a Christian. He was listening on his way into work every day of about a man that was preaching on that secular radio station about the prophetic word in the first covenant and how it was fulfilled in the new, and most of it was in the book of Matthew. And so he decided he was going to go get a Bible with the New Testament in it. So he went and did this, and what happened was, as he read through the book of Matthew, he said he never even got all the way through the book. He began to weep, and he fell on his face and asked Yeshua to come into his life. That's how he came. And then he began to share us about the Jewish Seder that comes at the Passover every year. He talked about all the elements that's on the table. You know, we do a Seder every year. And he talked about all those elements that were on the table. And he shared how each one of them represented Yeshua HaMashiach. And the more he talked, the more he cried. And tears just run down his face. He couldn't comprehend how he went all those years and didn't understand and realize that Yeshua HaMashiach, the one that came way back, was his Messiah, but he finally came to the Messiah. Isn't that incredible when you think about it? And we met another man one time in a Jewish synagogue we went to in Fort Lauderdale, and he was almost 90 years old, and he'd received Yeshua as Messiah. We talked to him in the hall after that meeting we were in. He was jumping up and down. He was so excited because just a few months earlier, he had accepted Yeshua and realized that he was truly the Messiah. And he said, how could I have went all these years and not realize that he's my Messiah? He's my Savior. And so we see this. It's incredible when they come. It's amazing. But we keep praying for all of them. We continue to pray that the people of Israel individually will come. You know, the Passover lamb that was sacrificed and all was a picture of individual salvation in the first covenant. Well, the Day of Atonement, when they sacrificed an animal, it was for the whole nation, okay? It means the corporate salvation of the nation of Israel when Yeshua comes back at the end. But Passover itself is a lamb per family, showing individual salvation, and we can only come by the blood of a lamb, and it's not a lamb and a baby lamb that we talk about today. It had to come by the Lamb of God, and the whole thing that happened in Exodus chapter 12 was all prophetic to Yeshua HaMashiach, our Messiah, and what he did for all of us, how he died, the whole thing, when he died, between the two evenings and all that. It's amazing, you know, at 3 p.m., everything had to be fulfilled by the Messiah. You know, it says he was tempted in all points as we are, but without sin. And why couldn't he sin? Because he was, because he was not conceived by a man and woman's physical relationship and having the DNA from way, way back with Adam. No, his DNA came from his Father, the divine nature and attributes of God the Father. She was just overwhelmed by the Holy Ghost and was conceived, and Yeshua came. She carried the Messiah for those months. And it's amazing. You think about, we read through the Bible in the New Testament and all, that only about a dozen people knew that the Messiah was going to come at that time. But there was a few that did, didn't they? They prophesied. Simeon prophesied over him. Anna, a prophetess, she spoke over him. And we see all these things. And so even after all that, then he grew up and did all these miracles, walked the earth for 3.5 years, did miracles, signs, and wonders everywhere. And the religious group could not accept it. We only see two people revealed in the Bible, and that was Nicodemus. And the man, what was the other man's name, Pastor Donna, that gave the tomb for Yeshua to come in? I went blank on his name. Nicodemus believed, and he was a leader, and he was a teacher, and he should have known these things, but he didn't. And this other man as well. And so they were the only two that are mentioned in the Bible that came to Yeshua. So what happened to all the rest?
Joseph, the one who had the tomb.
Nope.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess so. Joseph of Arimathea, that was the tomb, yeah.
The Jesus that he gave for his tomb, well, for and Jesus.
And I always tell people he gave it away because he knew he was going to get it back in 3 days. Because Jesus promised he was going to raise from the dead, and he did. So we have all this, and you wonder why.
Well, you know, you see also, Pastor, you see how things repeat itself.
Yeah.
Like you said, these things happen. There was the first temple, the second temple, and down in Spain, and other things that happened in other countries, mm-hmm. which we don't have time to share. Wow, we're almost out of time.
Yeah, we got a little over 5 minutes.
When did this start? It may have started when those spies went in, because that was a time when they cried on the 9th of Av. They cried out because they missed God.
They sure did.
They were told that they could have the promised land.
I told them long before that.
But they didn't believe it.
Nope.
They didn't believe God. And they sinned just like Zedekiah sinned. So they sinned, and so that's when the tears started coming, you know. And now things have happened over and over again on the 9th of Av because of sin, basically.
And disobedience.
Not obeying.
And see, God promised them long before they came to that point that He was going to give them that land. And if you get the book of Jasher, it's a Jewish writing, you find out when Joshua took him in the promised land, all the battles that he had to go through with these giants, they were giants everywhere, huge walls, and with maybe 300 or 400 Jewish men would go in and they would take those cities one by one. And so God was on their side. As long as they obeyed him and trusted him, everything would happen. You read also in Deuteronomy, when they came out of out of Egypt, they could have been in their promised land in 11 days. They did not obey. So what happened? They wandered around for 40 years. 1 year for every day that they were over in the promised land in disobedience. Only two men that came out that was right. Joshua and Caleb. And Caleb happened to be a Gentile. His father was Jephunneh. And God honored him so much that he put him in the tribe of Judah. I thought this was amazing when I understood this. And so we see what...
And he wasn't afraid. He was 80 years old or older when he came out, when he took them across, him and Joshua took them across, and he said, give me the mountain.
Give me my mountain.
That means, give me the hard part. I'll go fight them giants.
That's right.
Lord, I trust you. I'll go fight those giants. And he did.
Because he knew God was on his side.
He was faithful and true, and God honored him, and he's in the book.
So we have to believe that today. We honor God. We know He's in control. Doesn't matter about this election. No matter what's going to happen, He's in control. He will not be fooled by what happens. And so we cannot be dismayed or discouraged or upset about it. We just have to go with
it. So those who honor God, God will bless.
He sure will.
So we need to be obedient.
We see that all through the Bible, don't we, honey?
Amen.
Now, He does. The people that obeyed Him, what? They were blessed. They were blessed. They were blessed over and over and over again. See, Zedekiah, he disobeyed God. He couldn't have been blessed.
And if America turns away from Israel,
oh boy.
If we turn away from keeping God's commandments, we are bringing a curse upon ourselves.
You know,
God doesn't curse people. People bring curses upon themselves.
That's right.
And the land has brought a curse upon itself because of all the dead babies that have been killed down through these last how many years?
Since 1973.
Millions of babies have
been aborted.
The blood cries out. You know, if the blood of one man cries out, and you think about the blood of millions of babies.
That's right.
Well, this is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton. We need to seek holiness. We need to return to the Lord because the days are short and we don't know when the end's going to come, but it could be soon.
Help us walk with you, Lord, yes.
So we just thank the Lord for this radio broadcast. Pray that you got something out of it. And that you will seek the Lord and you'll pray, and you'll pray for your family and for yourself and for this nation and for what's going on, you know, and pray for Israel. The Bible tells us to pray for Jerusalem.
Pray for the peace
pray
of Israel.
Pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
Yes.
So this is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton. We're here every Saturday, Lord willing. You can also listen to us on the way of the internet. You can go back and listen to this over again if you want to. If you missed it and you're on the road somewhere and you would like to say, hey, I'd like to have heard the whole thing, you can go to WCNO.com and go to their program guide and go to Saturday and look for Raising the Standard at 12 noon with Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton. Also, we have services here in Stuart, Florida. If you'd like to come, we have this afternoon at 4 o'clock, and then we have tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. and next Friday, every Friday at 7 p.m. So the phone number here is area code 772-285-7007. I'll repeat that. Area code 772-285-7007.
So this afternoon at 4 o'clock, we're going to have another DVD by Bill Cloud. He's incredible. He's a Gentile, but he knows the Hebrew and the things he reveals. It's just marvelous. We've watched a couple of weeks with Mark Biltz and the things he had to say, and so we learned from all these. And so remember this. God is not done with Israel. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care what denomination may say that. God is not done with Israel. They are His chosen people, and He's going to do everything within His power to bring them to the Messiah that He sent to the earth the first time. And so we thank you for that, Lord. So as we close the program,
amen.
We tell you that we're here because we love people. We want to see the standard raised in the body of Christ. And so as we close every week, we tell you to look up because your redemption draweth nigh. And what do we say, Pastor Donna?
Shabbat Shalom, Sabbath peace and rest.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that He is the Spirit of prophecy.